All right, Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter number 47. I'm hearing voices. Amen. Amen. Boy, when that preacher speaks, it thunders. Amen. 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 Ezekiel 47. And I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. Ezekiel 47, verse number 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. And go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message tonight. Thank you for this gathering, God, and the good spirit that we have here. Father, we thank you for your love, mercy, goodness, and grace to us. And God, tonight I ask for a little while you'd meet with us. And Lord, as been prayed, we thank you for the rain. And we thank you, Father, for the thunder. God, it reminds us of our lesson this morning, God, and we thank you for it. God, we just ask you that tonight, God, you'd put a hedge about this place, God, and just bless us with your presence and your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ezekiel had been getting a guided tour of the Millennial Temple. He'd been getting a layout of the Millennial land track and the grants that were given to the children of Israel that's coming up in that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And you say, how do you know that that's what he's talking about? Well, it's easy when you start figuring the dimensions and everything that he's measuring up to realize that that temple would not possibly fit on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, wouldn't fit anywhere near where the current temple is believed to have been built. There has to be changes in the geography, and we know that Zechariah tells us that's going to happen when the Lord returns to the Mount of Olives and they cleave asunder, and all the land shall be raised up. So he's getting this tour, and he brings him into the sanctuary and to the house of God, and he comes to that place, and he sees this river. And I'm going to talk to you about this river tonight, because I believe this river shows for us the steps, if you will, to true service for the Lord. True service for God. It's sad to say that most people will never know what it means to be truly involved in serving God. Most of Christianity today only wants a superficial involvement with the Lord. They only want just enough to satisfy their conscience and to say, oh yeah, I'm okay, and that's enough for me. For some of them, that's once a month. Some of them, it's once or twice a year. Some of them, it's not even that much.
And so they'll never know the joys of true service for the Lord. Many will never, ever lead a soul to Jesus Christ. Now that's sad when you think about it, because we're supposed to be fruitful, we're supposed to multiply, and yet many of God's children, people that are truly born again, will never in their lifetime lead one single soul to Jesus Christ. That's sad. That's sad. You'll find other people will never realize the joy of giving of themselves to be a blessing to somebody else. So self-centered, even in Christianity today, that they never get to that place where they'll say, you know what, Lord, take one of my blessings and give it to so-and-so. They could use it right now. And just start praying for somebody else. When we look at this thing, then we're going to see some things about it. This river as a beginning point, it starts small and it grows. It follows a path. And as we all see down here, that this river starts at the house of God. And for our purposes, that would be likened to this local church. The church originated with God. The church was ordained by God. The church was organized by God. It is of God's design. The pastors, the teachers, they are gifts from God, according to Ephesians 4, for the church, for the work of the ministry. And so the idea is that God uses the church, and he uses the local church to get people in a place of serving Him. When you think about it, most of your New Testament is composed of epistles written to churches and local assemblies of believers. And so I want you to look here at a couple of things. In verse number 1, it says, "Afterward he brought me again under the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward." So we see here three things right off the bat. He's brought to the door. Now, I believe that, if you're going to ever serve God, the first place you're going to have to come is to the door. That door being the Lord Jesus Christ, that being salvation. You have no access to the Father without salvation. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out." You know the idea there. So he is the access that we have to the Father. According to John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there's one mediator, there's one way, there's one access, there's one person, one name where you can come and receive salvation. And without Jesus Christ, you're never going to serve God. Many people try to serve Him today through their religion. They might name His name, they might claim His name, but until you know Him, until He has washed away your sin and put His Spirit to dwell within you, you will never be able to serve God in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And you say, what is the rest? It's religious works. It is self-righteousness, which amounts to filthy rags in the sight of our Lord. And so you need Christ. And Jesus said this. He said, "He that entereth in not by the door of the sheepfold," if he don't come in by the door, he said, the same as a thief and a robber. Right. So you got to come in by the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. You must be saved and if you're going to serve the Lord. I want you to see, not only was he brought to the door, but the next thing he mentions there at the end of verse 1 is the south side of the altar. And you know what you get when you come to an altar? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know what I believe that speaks of? I believe that speaks of death to self. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what he said? The first thing I want is a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, what do you and I have to offer him? He's not interested in gold and silver. Those things, as we sang, they didn't purchase our redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. God needs only this. He needs us to surrender our will to his will. And be not conformed to this world, Romans 12, 2 says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the idea is coming to that place where we can truly say, I surrender all. Where we say, Lord, here's my life. Take it, make it wholly thine, and use me for your honor and glory. You know, the Lord said, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hold to the one and hate the other, or he will love the one and despise the other. You start looking at these things and you're going, you know what? You cannot serve God in the world. You cannot serve God in the flesh. You cannot serve God in the devil. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in self. So the idea then is to come to that place where you say, you know what? No more my will, but now it's God's will. And that's a death to the flesh. That's the altar. You know what he does then? He takes him, it says there in verse 2, then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward. Now, you know, I believe this speaks of your sincerity. I believe this speaks of your motive. And you say, why is that? Because northward is the place of God's abode. He dwells in the congregation in the sides of the north, the mount of the sides of the north, the city of God, beautiful for situation, is Mount Zion in the sides of the north. It talks about the north. All of our compasses point north. The brightest star is the north star. Everything points north, and a man navigates by that. And you say, why? Because that's the bearing towards heaven. That's where God is, that third heaven up there. And you know what I believe that speaks of? It's setting your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. I believe it is getting to that place where we are doing what we do not to be seen of men, not to be applauded by men or patted on the back by man, but simply to please our God. Just simply saying, Lord, I don't have much. What I have, I give to you, and I would like you to use it for your honor and glory. You take it, you do what you can with it, and God, it's yours. And boy, just surrendering it all over. That is the right motivation. That puts you in the right direction. Boy, you've surrendered to yourself, and you want to do something for God. You know, the idea then is to be saved, surrendered, and sincere in order to serve the Lord. If you're insincere tonight, if you're not really, your heart really isn't in it, you know, you don't have to convince me. You don't have to convince your mom or your dad or your best friend or your wife or your husband. The one you're going to have to convince about your sincerity is God. And he knoweth the heart. And he looks in your heart. He knows whether you're sincere or not. And so if you're going to serve God, you better get serious with him. And so we see then that he comes by this, and then he takes him out eastward there, the gate northward, and then led me about, verse 2, unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Look in verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Now notice it said he measured 1,000 cubits. Can I serve notice on you tonight that you, when you first got saved, you were a new creature in Christ. You were a babe in Christ. But God does not expect you to stay a baby for year after year after year after year. You know, if we had a little infant child here born into the family here at church, and boy, you saw that baby, and you came back in 6 months, and that baby hadn't grown any, you know what you'd say? You'd say, there's something serious wrong here. Something wrong with that kid. He's not growing. And you come back a year later, 2 years later, and mom's still carrying him, mom's still nursing, mom's still changing diapers. You come back 3-4 years later in the same situation. You know what you're going to say? Something wrong. Something not right. That's not a healthy child. And you know what I believe? God wants to see some growth in His children. He wants to see some maturity, that we get to that place where we're henceforth no more children, where we become teachers and ministers of the Word of God, and be able to be used of God. And so He measures 1,000. And to me, that's time. That's a space, if you will, in the spiritual application that we're making. And He says the water was to the ankles. So you know what? You know, when your water's up to your ankles, what got wet? Your feet. You got your feet wet. And you know what? That's what most people need to do in the service of God. That's just doing the simple things. That's giving your testimony. Do you realize that people struggle? People that profess to be saved, you tell me when you got saved. And they go, well, I'm not comfortable talking about it. And I'm thinking, well, then you probably don't have it. If you're truly born again, you remember what happened. You remember where it happened. You remember what took place. You remember how you felt before. You remember how you felt after. You remember all about it. And you got no problem telling somebody about it. In fact, you welcome the opportunity to do so. Amen. And you know what? Getting your feet wet would be good for you to start going out giving your testimony. You say, who do I give it to? Start with the brethren. Some night when I open it up here and say, anybody got a testimony? Anybody got a praise? You could stand up and say, I'd just like to tell you that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior on such and such a day and such and such a place. And boy, it's the best thing I ever did in my life. I'm so glad God saved me. Amen. And you can sit back down, and you know what you've done? You've given your testimony. You've done something that God has done for you. That's getting your feet wet. Here's another one. How about handing out a tract to somebody? There are Christians today that don't carry tracts. They don't ever have a gospel tract in their pocket. Whenever they go, if they get caught in a spot where somebody starts talking to them about the Lord, immediately they go, oh man, I wish I had a tract. You know, well, why don't you? Time to get your feet wet. Put them tracts in your pocket. Carry some in your purse. Carry some in your wallet. Have them somewhere handy. Make sure the car console's loaded up in case you run out. And then you know what? Get real big, bad, and brave and pull it out of your pocket and give it to somebody. Yeah. You think it's easy? No, you know it's not. You see other people do it and you admire their courage in the Lord. And you know, but nobody ever cuts their hand off. Nobody ever reaches out and grabs them and says, well, give me that track. You know, it doesn't happen. But you know what? Our fears tell us that it's going to. People are afraid of water, some people. And you know what? Just to get the ankles wet, it's a lot for them. There are those of us that never get in slow. I'm not the kind of person that goes to the swimming pool and goes over and dips my foot in there, go, oh, it's cold, ooh, and then go down to the shallow end and slowly work my way in. I'm the kind of guy that climbs on the diving board. I don't want to know how cold it is. I'm going in. I'll get used to it once I'm there. And I'll dive off and into that pool. I've done that for years and years and years. You say, why? It's just my nature. I dive in. I'm in. Hide hair and all, you know. There we go. We're in it. And, you know, you're going to have to get your feet wet. How about this? Inviting people to church. Just inviting them to come. Why don't you come with me to church? Hey, listen, there's a nutcase down there at Bible Baptist Church. You got to go listen to this guy. He's liable to spit on you if you sit too close, amen. And you get him in here, I don't care if you want to label it as a sideshow or something to get him in. You got to catch him with guile every now and then and get him in here and get him underneath the preaching of the Word of God. You'd be surprised. They might get saved. It happens all the time, doesn't it? I mean, we get lost people in here, they usually walk the aisle. Problem is getting them in the door. Now, next week, you got an excuse. We got potluck. Amen. And so the idea then, get your feet wet. Some of you are going to have to take that first step. You've heard me talk about when I was down in PBI, and there's some guys at work kept working me over about going street preaching. They kept working me over. Oh, you ought to go street preaching. We go right down there in Milton. You ought to go. You ought to go. You ought to go. How come you never go? And they were just eyeing me. And I said, all right, I'm going. And I said, when? He said, we're going to be there. And he told me the time, and he told me where to park, and he told me everything. And so I got there. I looked around. There's no other cars. There's no other people. I sat there, and I waited. And they said they were going to be there. We were going to do it at 7. They didn't show at 7. They weren't there at 5 after 7. At 5 after in 2 seconds, my flesh said, let's go. They're not coming. I mean, my flesh no different than yours.
Amen.
And you know, I sat there and I thought about that day, and I said, I'll give them another 5 minutes. At 10 after in 1 second, my flesh said, let's go. They're not coming. And boy, I put that car, put the key in the ignition. I turned the car key. The car started. I reached for that shifting lever. And the Holy Spirit of God said, are you here for me or are you here for them? And I said, Lord. and I said, I'm here for you. And I turned it off. And I said, I'll know what I'll do. I'll go out and I'll stand out there in the medium and I'll just hand out tracts. And so I stand there with my Bible under my arm, and here they come, and I go over to that, would you like one of these? And man, some little old lady looked out there and goes, well, thank you. Take that thing. I went, that's easy. Boy, the next car come by, that wasn't so bad. A couple of them never roll the window down. And they just look at, straight forward, you know, not look at you, and you just walk by them. I'm doing okay. Until I got to that one that just was the antagonist. Well, I don't know what you're doing out here thinking you're pushing your religion on people. I think you blankety blank, he says to me. And then he starts to drive off. And I said, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the sky didn't fall. I lived. I stayed there for almost an hour by myself. Well, not totally by myself. The Lord was with me. So I went to work the next time. And I came in. And I said, hey, how come you guys didn't show up? Oh, well, I had this going and I had that going. And I said, well, I waited. Oh, sorry, this and that, you know. And I got thinking about it. I thought, it's just as good they didn't come. I got to get my feet wet. Had I been out there and they all showed up, they'd all been preaching and I'd have been standing there just handing tracts to the little pleasant ladies that were smiling at me. But because they weren't there, my spirit got stirred within me. That word that was shut up like a fire in my bones, I couldn't forbear, I couldn't stay any longer. I had to let it go. And bless God, that happened to some of y'all. You got your feet wet. You got out there and said, let's just get involved. Let's do something. I'm going to go street preaching next time. I'm going to hold up a scripture sign. I'll even hide behind it like some do when they first come. You know, they got the sign right in front of their face. And they're facing the traffic and nobody can see who's behind the sign. You know, but I guarantee you, about the first time you peek over, it will be somebody you know. That's just how it is, you know. Oh, that's somebody from work. They need to read this. But you know what? You go, and it won't be long until you're stirred. And you're going, man, this is the right thing to do. This is right. I like serving God. It's fun. If you think serving God's boring, it's because you haven't started yet. Amen. So he says up to the ankles. But I want you to see something else. Here you come a little bit farther. And notice there in verse number 4. It says, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Now you know what that speaks to me of? That speaks to me of seeing the potential. When a church begins to get active and knocking on some doors, handing out some tracts, street preaching, witnessing, trying to compel people to come in, when they start getting busy in the soul winning aspect, you know, it isn't long until you begin to realize how much could be getting done. There's an opening of the understanding, a realization. You get a vision for the work of God. You start seeing things the way the Lord does. And you say, look how many lost people are out here. Look how many people don't even think about God anymore. Look how many are on their way to hell. Look how wicked some of them are living. Look how vile some of them are. And you begin to get a burden for them, and you want to see them get saved, and you want to see their lives rescued, and you want to see their families healed, and you want to see things begin to go. And you get a desire, and you say, would to God, if God would just get in it and stir up more people, and it'll drop you to your knees. You'll begin to pray. Say, why? Because you're getting in. You're beginning to see what's going on. You begin to realize how important it is. You know, most of you here tonight, I know, understand what I'm saying. You've got to that place. You got to that place where God moved your heart over a lost person to a point where you dropped on your knees and you began to plead with God for them. Say, God, just open so-and-so's eyes. If they don't see this, if they don't start getting involved. And you've prayed for your brethren. You've seen some of them wavering and almost ready to depart from the faith, almost ready to fall away, to get out of service, to get out of church and not serve God anymore. And you've said, oh God, if they could only get a vision, oh God, if they could only be stirred and to see things the way you see them, then they wouldn't even think about quitting over such trivial things. They'd want to serve. They'd want to get involved. God, there's so much potential. And we get a hold of the throne of God. Get a hold of God and ask Him to do something great. Well, you see the importance of the task. You begin to see the inability, and that's yours. You know, you and I are really just tools in the hands of God. It seems like the more we try to control our lives, the more we try to organize, the more we try to get it done, the less is accomplished. And it's like a paradox. When we begin to get out of the way, when we remove self, when we get our fleshly desires off the table, off the bargaining table, then God can begin to do something with us. And we begin to see that, you know, boy, that verse in the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Boy, that's a source of power. And you know what it does? It makes up for my inability. For our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're only mighty through God. And it's our prayers, it's our beseeching the Lord to use us and to work and to give us the power. When we get to that place where we trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. When we get there and we say, you know what, Lord, it's your life, it's yours. And I just want to serve you. And boy, you begin to get stirred in the indwelling spirit of the Lord. And boy, it'll bring you to your knees. You begin to pray. Begin to seek unto God. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages and forever. Amen. You know what he's praying? He's saying, oh, if God would just give you a dose of what He gave me. Imagine what could happen, saints at Ephesus. Imagine what could happen, you people at Philippi. Imagine what could happen, you Colossians. Oh boy, something could get done. And that's seeing the potential. Getting down on your knees. And you know, once you get involved, you'll begin to see what could be done. If only you were praying more, if only God was moving more, and if only more were helping. If only more were involved. You know, we right now we struggle financially. You know why? Because there's so few of us involved. We have people that come Sunday morning, and they come in, they sit, but they're not involved. They come, they get preached at, and they get a blessing, and they go out the door, but they're not involved. They're not serving with you. They're not seeing this thing through. They're not there supportive of what's going on. And if they were, think of how much different things could be. Do you realize two or three more families in here and you'd begin to think we were filling up? That's it. A couple more families and you'd be going, man, things are really happening. We've doubled in size already. That'd be about true, wouldn't it? Amen. But you know what? You'd be encouraged by it. And you'd say, boy, what if we had three more? And what if we had these? And what if those were involved? And man, and look what we could do. You see, you're seeing the potential. Notice verse 4, the second half of the verse. You know, and each time he measures 1,000, you know what that is? That's more maturity. And he says there in verse 4b, again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Now when you get to this place, you're more in than you're out. You know, when I'm in the water to my ankles, my feet are wet. When I'm in the water to my knees, I'm still pretty much in control of things. But when I get up to here, that water's starting to move me around. That water, if it's got any force at all, I'm pushing against it, or it's moving me. And you get to that, you know what, you're getting to that place where you're more in than you're out. And that's where you really want to strive to get in serving God. It is that place where serving is a way of life. When you think of Romans 12, 2, and it says, which is your reasonable service, 12, 1 and 2, and you read that and you go, you know what, that's understandable. In fact, didn't the Lord say that when we have done that which is our duty to do, we are unprofitable servants? Is that what he said? He said, why are we unprofitable? Because you've only done that which is your reasonable service. When you get to the place where Christianity is a way of life, not a Sunday morning endeavor. When it is the way that you live witnessing, you live praying, you live reading, you live separated, you live holy, you live righteously, you live honestly, you live and train your family to do what is right according to the precepts of God. When you get there, you're more in than you're out. You know, when it's not a struggle anymore to get the family to church, they just know you're going. When the kids are already getting ready and all excited about going and waiting on you. And you're going, what's going on? You're more in than you're out. And that's when it becomes something that God can begin to move and do with you what he wants to do. And I want you to see next here in verse 5. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. I want you to notice that a little bit farther down the road, when you're involved in the service of God and people are in it with you and things begin to happen, that there are strength in numbers. You begin to realize the power. What could be done? What is getting done? Do you realize that in our country there was a time when churches would shut down the bars and the houses of ill repute? Yeah. You realize there were times in this country where businesses would not dare open on Sunday for offending the church folk and keeping them out of church? And they had blue laws, they called them. And you say, well, that was when there was some power in the churches. That was when there was some power in the Christian life. That's when even the ungodly looked over there and said, we don't want to mess with them. Not something you can pass over. If you've ever stood on the brink of a raging river and watched that thing going on by, where you were afraid, you wouldn't even get near that water because you knew it'd just take you right on down the road. And you couldn't do a thing about it. You couldn't swim across it. That water's going to take you and take you on down. That's how the church ought to be when it comes to righteousness and having being a lighthouse in a dark community. That's what we ought to be. Strength in numbers. You know, God blesses a praying people. He blessed men like Moses, and he gave them men to serve with him. He blessed Joshua. He blessed King David. He blessed person after person. You go down through Daniel. Here he's in the captivity. He's praying, and God gives him great victories over the lions and other things. And boy, you look at that thing, you go, how can all this be? Because God is all-powerful. And when you're serving him and you're pleasing him, it's just like him to do something spectacular with you. And you stand back and you go, wow, look what God did. And that's the power of God. You know, it's easier to witness when you have people with you. Did you notice that? It's easier to testify when somebody's standing next to you that's a brother or a sister in Christ. You go out, that's why the Lord sent them out by twos. And you know, you go out soul winning and you got somebody standing next to you, you're a whole lot braver than when you go by yourself. A lot easier to talk when you got somebody standing there with you praying silently. A lot easier to witness when they're praying that God prepares the hearts and gives you the word to say and helps you get through it. A lot easier. It's even better when you got a group of people that maybe couldn't go out for one reason or other, but they know you're out and they're praying at home and they're saying, oh, God bless them. God protect them. God give them opportunities. Oh, God, do something with them. And the power of God begins to move. You ever witness to somebody and feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in the room? I remember my wife and I sitting one time talking to somebody, and boy, it was more than once. But this guy was a Mormon. And he'd been coming to the church, you know, hearing the preaching. To give you an idea, he'd never even heard the story of Samson. And so I'd preached on Samson and something along those lines. And he just was moved by that. And he said, man, I've never heard anything like that before. So we went over to visit him. Got over to that house. We're sitting down and I'm taking him through the scriptures. And we come on down through there. I'm showing him this and showing him that, showing him this. And you could feel God's Spirit just hovering there. And boy, I could sense it. And I thought, this guy is so close to receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior. And boy, I knew my wife was praying that God would give me words to say, whatever. And boy, I'd show him something and he'd get stuck. And he gets stuck on a feeling, you know. Well, I felt this burning in my bosom. And I'm thinking, well, take Rolaids, but look here in the scripture, you know. I mean, you know, come on. You know, you felt a burning in your bosom, man. I had that when we ate Mexican food the other night. You know, what is that? That's trusting in a feeling. And a feeling will change. A feeling will deceive you over and over again. And boy, I'd get him almost to the point. And the Holy Spirit was right there. And the phone rang. And you know who it was? Mormon elder. And he said, oh yeah, hi, yeah, yeah. Oh, I was just talking to this Baptist preacher. Uh-huh, yeah, okay, click. 2 minutes. He's at the door. And then he comes in and just argumentative and just disrupted the whole thing. You could just sense the Spirit of God just... There it went. Probably took that young man and made him twofold more the child of hell than himself. Yeah, talking about the hieroglyphics and the Egyptians and the this and that. And I'm thinking, you know, look, you know, you're following Joe Smith who sat behind a curtain with stone glasses on telling you that he's somehow getting a vision and reading some scripts that you never saw. And nobody's ever, through any archaeological evidence or any other form, ever found anything like that. And, you know, and then you're, you know, by the way, next thing you know, that tension... Spirit of God's gone. Power's gone. Sat another time dealing with somebody about their soul. Holy Spirit was so powerful and present that we sat there and my wife was crying. I was crying. The other person sitting across the table was crying. And the guy that I was trying to lead, the Lord, was sitting there crying. He didn't even know why. And boy, we got to that place. And boy, finally I asked him if he wanted to be saved. And he said yes. Man. And man, oh man, it just the top came off. And you say, what is that? Power. You can't pass by that. The power of God. You know what we need in our lives? The power of God. You know what God wants to give us? His power. He wants to use us. But he's not going to fill a dirty vessel. He's not going to fill a part-time Christian. He's not going to fill somebody that's not sincere, that's not surrendered. He's certainly not going to do it for somebody that's not saved. And you look at that thing, you go down to that progression. You got to get saved. You got to get surrendered. You got to get sincere with God. You got to get involved. Get your feet wet. Get on your knees. Start praying and do something for God. And the power of God will come into your life. Amen. And you'll know it. You'll know it. Amen. You'll sense it. You know, it's serving God. Well, we get caught up in a group of people that want to do that. It won't be long and things will happen. Notice verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? You getting it? Have you seen it? You understanding it? He said, then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country. Go down into the desert. Boy, we could use them here, couldn't we? And go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. You know, Jesus one time stood in the marketplace, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. That water that brings life, the water of life. We know what it's like. We've tasted at the fountain. You know what you see here? Productivity. Many trees. You know what the Bible says? Mark chapter 8, and Jesus took and touched the blind man's eyes, and he asked him if he saw aught. And you know what he said? He said, I see men as trees walking. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way with sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be as a tree planted by rivers of water. And he shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. You know, the idea is productivity. When you get serving God, men will be touched. Lives will be changed. Souls will be saved. Notice he said in verse 9, a great multitude of fishes. Do you remember when Jesus walked by a couple of fishermen one day and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? You know what we need today? We need to get involved in the service of God. Amen. Now maybe you're at that place where you've never been saved. You got to start there. You got to start at the door. Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, and gave his life to save your soul, to purchase redemption, forgiveness of sin, and to give you the gift of eternal life. But you can't come some other way. You can't think that you're just going to be a good enough person and somehow God is going to make an exception for you. Because if he did, he'd have to apologize to a whole bunch of other people. Not going to make the exception. You must come by the door. You must come by Jesus Christ. Because there, the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. You don't come by him. You aren't saved. You don't get saved. You only come through him. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you're that place where you need to surrender to God. You haven't died to self yet. You haven't gotten to that place where your will is not important to you anymore. You still make the plans for your life. You still make the decisions of what you're going to do. You don't even ask God about it. I'm going to study this. I'm going to be that. This is what my occupation is going to be. And you haven't even besought the Lord to say, Lord, is this your will for my life? Is this what you want me to do? Listen, we got to get to that place of surrender. Got to get to that place where we're sincere. Got to get to that place where you get your feet wet. Start serving God. Once you do, you'll end up on your knees. You'll start praying. You'll start trying to encourage others to get involved because you'll know the blessings of serving God. And the more they get involved, the more the productivity will be, the power will be present, and God will be glorified. We need to serve him. And this is the way to do it. Father, we thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you for each and every one's here. And God, oftentimes our nature is to procrastinate. We keep putting off things. Lord, I remember trying to convince myself that I was saved, that I was okay, I was just as good as anybody else. when the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit of God smote my heart every time I heard the gospel. Every time I heard somebody talk about giving a testimony, I'd think I couldn't remember giving a testimony. I didn't know nothing about a testimony. Testimony, what's he talking about? God, maybe there's someone like that here tonight. God, I know that you know. And I know that you know what needs to be done here. But God, we're a needy people. We want to come sincere. We want to come honest. We want to come seeking. And God, we just ask that you do something great with us. Not because we're worthy. Not because we deserve it. But Father, simply because we love you and appreciate all that you've done for us. God, the only thing we can give back to you is this life that we have. God, in the quiet of the moment, I pray that you'd search hearts. And Lord, if someone needs to come to this altar, that they'd step out of their seat even now, God, and come make their way down here. Maybe they need to come and just get a hold of my attention and say, preacher, I need to be saved. And we can have somebody take a Bible and show them how. Maybe they're struggling with something. They just don't know how to get the victory, God. May they come and seek prayer, and somebody could pray with them and try to help them, God.